And it's also to be meichin from one day Yom Tov to the second day of Yom Tov. Now, let's... Shavuos, this year I said, is Sunday, Monday. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. So here, now this truth, now the truth is there are a lot, there are many heterim to do so. Now, this is what the Gemara, let me read you some of the Gemaras and we'll discuss some of the Lundis. Basically, what we're trying to point out is that there's a difference between preparing from Shabbos to Yom Tov or from Shabbos to Chol, compared to preparing from one day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov. The rules of preparing from one day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov are much more lenient than the rules of preparing from one day from Shabbos to Yom Tov. And what's the basic difference between the two? On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do anything, pretty much. Shabbos, Shabbos, is Shabbos. If you're going to... There is no malacha, so it's not really that much negeh halacha l'maisa, because anything that you're doing on Shabbos is not a malacha. It's just... What are you really doing? Let's say this year. This year, a person... So what is the hachana? So, for example, this year, a person let's say he normally does not take a nap Shabbos afternoon. You find such people, they do not take naps Shabbos afternoon. But this year, I want to stay up the entire Mitzvah Shabbos to fulfill the minig of learning the entire night. I'm not going to be able to do that unless I take a nap Shabbos afternoon. So by me taking a nap Shabbos afternoon, why does that not constitute a prohibition of being meichin from Shabbos to Yom Tov? The answer is, you're permitted on Shabbos to take a nap. There's nothing wrong with taking a nap. You're allowed to do that. There's no violation of halach in taking a nap on Shabbos. So it's mutter. Being that it's mutter, you can do it. As long as you don't explicitly state, you make an announcement to your entire family, Abayisai, I'm now going to go to sleep solely for the purpose of staying up tonight. That would be a violation of Achan. You're doing something in preparation for tomorrow. But if you don't say the Pemole and someone observes what you're doing, and even yourself, it's not an open violation, because the truth is you are allowed to take a nap on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong. There's no harm being done. Even though in your mind you're only doing it because you want to prepare for the next day, that is not a violation, because it's mutter. And as long as you don't openly express yourself that you're doing it for that purpose, there is no prohibition. Now let's discuss cooking. Cooking is a little, on Yom Tov is different, because cooking, you're allowed to cook. The only melacha that you're allowed to, achasher ye'osel l'chol nefesh hu levado ye'osel l'chem, a person is allowed to cook for Yom Tov. That by day. So what's so terrible if I cook today for tomorrow as well? On Yom Tov, you are allowed to cook. What's the problem? Just like I'm allowed to go to sleep on Shabbos to prepare for Yom Tov, because sleeping on Shabbos is nothing technically wrong doing so. So if it's now the first day Yom Tov and I want to cook for the meal, you know what? Let me cook two pots. One pot for this meal today and one pot for the meal tomorrow. And don't tell me I'm doing anything wrong, because I'm allowed to cook. I am allowed to cook on Yom Tov, just like I'm allowed to go to sleep on Shabbos, even though my kavan is I'm doing it for tomorrow. I'm doing it for, in order that I can stay awake with Shabbos. So too, when I cook, even though my kavan is I'm cooking the second pot for tomorrow, but the bottom line is I am allowed to cook today on Yom Tov. Now the answer is, there's a very fundamental difference between the two cases. Going to sleep, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything which even touches upon a violation of halacha. Cooking is a violation of halacha. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Oh, but you're cooking for eating purposes. Ach asher ye'oseh l'chol nefesh hu levado ye'oseh lochem. Cooking by default is osur. You need a heter to cook. When you have the heter to cook, then the violation goes away entirely. Not just the geder, the chuya. We're not saying it's pushed away. If you have a good reason to light a fire, to go and put a, to take meat and put them in the pot and cook it, if you have a good reason, okay, then the violation, what would otherwise be a violation, is lifted. So since you're starting out by default with a halachic violation, and you need to lift the violation, you better have a good reason. What's the good reason? I want to eat today. But if you're cooking a second pot because you want it for tomorrow, then the violation will be much, much stricter. Even though for today it would be mutter, but since your kavon is for tomorrow, there is no permission. You're not allowed to cook a second pot for tomorrow. And it's not similar to the case of going to sleep on Yom and Shabbos, because going to sleep on Shabbos was never prohibited, that you need to have a good excuse to lift the prohibition. On Shabbos, you're allowed to go to sleep, period. Yom Tif, you're not allowed to cook. But if you're cooking for the purpose of eating, then you're allowed to cook. So the default is usur. There's a reason why we're matir. Then we're makbid. The heter can only be applied in a situation where it's for today. But if you're in your mind, the back of your mind, you're doing this because you want to cook for tomorrow, even though you did not say one word, and someone who observes you doesn't really know exactly what you're doing. Someone who observes you will say, I'm cooking two different points in time. I cooked one pot. I put it in the refrigerator. Now I'm cooking a second pot. In my mind, why am I cooking this pot? For tomorrow. A neighbor walks in and sees me cooking. What do they think I'm doing? They think that I'm cooking the second pot for today's meal. They don't realize that I'm cooking the second pot for tomorrow's meal. So it's not nikkur. It should be l'chor equivalent to the case of going to sleep on Shabbos in preparation for Yom Tif. I'm going to sleep. So if I, in the back of my mind, know the only reason why I'm going to sleep is for tomorrow, but to the observer, it does not appear that I'm doing anything wrong, it's permitted. So why shouldn't it be permitted when it comes to cooking? So you have to understand there's a very basic difference. People get confused. The basic difference is because going to sleep was never prohibited to begin with. If you, on a regular Shabbos, chose not to go to sleep, that's your problem. That's your decision. If you now want to go to sleep, so you're not doing anything that ever needed to be lifted. Even though so now we apply the leniency there from the back of your mind. I'm only really going to sleep because I want to prepare for tomorrow. That's not called achana. But when it comes to Yom Tif, the default is you're not allowed to cook. It's usur. You play with fire, literally. You're cooking, doing a malacha deraisa, bishul. Oh, but I'm doing it to eat. Oh, you're doing it to eat? Dispensation, we lift the prohibition. Now you want to go and play games and say, I'm going to do cooking it for tomorrow. But no one knows that. To the observer, no one knows that. Yeah, but Hashem knows that He has to lift for you a prohibition in order for you to do something for tomorrow. That you're not allowed to do. There's a prohibition. There's a prohibition midrabanon of hachana. The kedush of Yom Tov is bo b'yom yunalan b'matshriach. And occupy yourself in preparation for the next day. Ve'echina, some say it's even deraisa, I believe. Achana is even deraisa, you're not allowed to do something like that. Now let's discuss another idea which elaborates upon this concept.
Even if you cook more than usual in a pot for tomorrow,
okay.
Is that so?
Now, you're right. Let's discuss the exceptions.
Big pot.
Yes.
You're cooking a big pot. And there's a very good chance you'll have left.
I even a lechatchila. So the example that I gave you was two separate pots.
No, this is one big.
All right. So that's why I was very precise. And the example is for Gesundheit. The example where it's prohibited to prepare from one pot, to prepare from one day to the next, is only when you prepare two different pots. However, lechatchila, you're allowed to prepare one pot. If I was only preparing for today, I would prepare only 5 pieces of meat. I would put in five bottoms, 5 tops of chicken. But being that, I also want for tomorrow, in one gesundheit, in one pot, you are permitted to add as much as you want, even knowing lechatchil that I'm putting most of the food in this pot for tomorrow.
No problem.
That is permitted.
The air of tavshilin,
the air of tavshilin is even greater. The area of Tavshilin is an even greater concept, which is not for now. This year was no area of Tavshilin, so we're not going to focus on the area of Tavshilin. Area of Tavshilin operates entirely even there. The issue is you're preparing from Yom Tif from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So there is a hetter because Me'ikar Hadin Shabbos has greater kedusha. When Chazal said you're not allowed to appear from one day to the next, it's only from one to equal days. One day Yom Tov to another day Yom Tov, or one day Yom Tov to Chol to a mundane day. But when you're going from Yom Tov to Shabbos, one opinion in the Gemara says that min haTorah even midrab it's mutter. There's no violation of preparing from Yom Tov to the holiness of day of holier kedusha. Chazal still did not want you to do it because it does not look right. You may come to make a violation next time, next year when you go from Yom Tov to Yom Tov or Yom Tov to Chol. So therefore, they require you to do some token type of takana of making erev tav shilu should be a hakara.
You can overcook in one pot.
Oh, so overcooking in one pot, right? Overcooking Chol, that's another. Erev tav shilu is entirely different. Is entirely different sugya. Let's just focus now on preparing from one day Yom Tov to another day Yom Tov. The two kiddushos are equal. So this is the reason why there is a degree of leniency. The degree of leniency stems from the fact that when Chazal said you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov or from Shabbos to the next day, the primary prohibition, whether it's Doraisa or Midrabanan, okay, there are different opinions about the sources. I don't remember. I'm sorry, I didn't prepare that well. But the different source of what the prohibition is, the primary prohibition is from holy to mundane, or from holier to less holy. So to prepare from Shabbos to Chol is a problem. To prepare from Yom Tov to Chol is a problem. But to prepare from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, that's not a problem. Me'ikar hadin, because you're not going down in kedusha. The prohibition of hachana is to zilzel, a disgrace in the sanctity of the day, where you're taking this day and you're using it as an opportunity to prepare for a day that has less kedusha. If it's Shabbos, the classic hachana is you're not allowed to appear on Shabbos for Sunday, for something you do during the week. You're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Yom Tov. You're not allowed, but what about if you prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, the Erev Tavshilin? You shouldn't even need an Erev Tavshilin. You're going up. I am not being mezalzel. I am not disgracing this day by preparing today for tomorrow, because tomorrow has even more sanctity. By extension, if I prepare from one day Yom Tov to another day Yom Tov, it's also not technically considered to be a disgrace because both days have the same exact sanctity. However, even though we made a very powerful argument that it's not really a disgrace to go from one day Yom Tov to the next, Chazal said it's aser. Now let's explain why did they say it's aser. Now this is very interesting because the truth is the second day Yom Tov is really Chol. Since the only reason why we keep 2 days Yom Tov is because of Sveika D'Yoma, it's Sveika D'Yoma, so we know in the back of our minds that we are really preparing from Yom Tov to Chol. What will be a nafkim, or maybe we'll say, no, it doesn't matter. We don't take that into consideration. That's not a consideration. Chazal were very makbid. You don't mezalzel in the kedusha of Yom Tov by preparing even to an equal. Even to an equal of another day Yom Tov, or even to a greater day, the proof is when it even comes to a greater day, when you're going to Shabbos, we require you to make an Erev Tav Shilin. Now the Nafkamina is, what about, are you allowed to prepare on the first day Pesach for the seventh day Pesach? How about that? It's the first day Pesach, and I want to make a dish, an exotic dish, and I want to make two pots. Yeah?
No problem.
Erev Shabbos, and I know there's enough in there for Sunday lunch. Am I going from Shabbos to Chol?
Say it again. What are you doing?
I'm setting up a pot of cholent.
On Shabbos? You can't.
No, Erev Shabbos.
Of course.
No, but I'm going from
the best cholent to Sunday.
No, it's
not going from Shabbos. You're going from Chol.
Starting at Chol. Okay.
That's for sure. But the question is, the question is, are you allowed on Pesach, let's say it's the first day Pesach, and you're preparing an exotic dish? You know what? I have all the ingredients, I have all the food, let me make two pots. One pot for today, and one pot for Shvi Shel Pesach. So I'm going now from Yom Tov to Yom Tov. So what would you say? Now you can't tell me it's going out to prepare for the second day Pesach. It's Shulchan Aruch, it's Aser. You're not allowed to go from one day Yom Tov to another day. If the reason why you can't prepare from one day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov is rooted in the fact that the second day Yom Tov really is Chol, it's mundane, so then that doesn't apply to the first day Pesach, to the seventh day Pesach. Because the seventh day of Pesach is Kodesh. L'chol adeus, because this is what it's called. You go from Yom Tov to Yom Tov. That'll be enough. Now, what are you going to argue? You're going to argue, but what about look at Erev Tavshilin? By Erev Tavshilin, you're going even a higher level. I'm going from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And it's Osur, unless I make an Erev Tavshilin. So how could it possibly be that if I'm going from Yom Tov to Shabbos, it's Osur, going to a higher Kedusha, unless I have an Erev Tavshilin? So certainly to go from one day Yom Tov to another day Yom Tov, it should be forbidden. Is that a good argument? The answer is not such a good argument. Number one, when you're going from Yom Tov to Shabbos, it's true you're going up, but you're going from one level to a different level. And when you go from one level, even though in this particular instance you're going up, the slippery slope is very slippery. Once you get accustomed to going up, you could very easily forget yourself and go down. Therefore, there is a svara that going up from Yom Tov to Shabbos is worse than going from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, which is all exactly the same. Then you're not going to make any confusion. And I'm going from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, it's all the same. So that's not called the zilzal. But if I'm allowed to go from Yom Tov to Shabbos, I'm going from one level to a different level in the mind. The mind does not know how to distinguish sometimes, and you may forget yourself next time and go from Shabbos to Yom Tov, or from Shabbos to Chol, or from Yom Tov to Chol. That's one argument. Another svar why it's not valid is because when you're going from Yom Tov to Shabbos, forget about levels. They're two distinct things. You're going from apples to oranges. That's, even though one has a higher sanctity, you're jumping boats. That resembles hachana. Don't be mezalzel in this Yom Tov by using it as an opportunity to prepare for something else. Even though the thing that you're preparing for is Shabbos Kodesh. Because Shabbos Kodesh is something that is completely different. It's a different world. But when you're going from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, it's all the same ball. There's all the same ball game. It's Yom Tov. There's Pesach. Torah says on Pesach, there's this first day Pesach, there's Shvi'i Shel Pesach. It's all the same thing. It's Yom Tov to Yom Tov. We're not jumping to two different worlds. And the only reason why you're not allowed to do Hachana is because you're being zalzel in the sanctity of the day by using it as an opportunity to do something for another day. That's not true when it comes to the Yom Tov itself. I'm going from one Yom Tov to another Yom Tov. I'm going from one Yom Tov to Yom Tov, the same Yom Tov. I'm not being mezalzel. It's all Yom Tov. And the same way I'm allowed to prepare for today, I'm allowed to cook a dish for today. I want to eat lunch today. I can prepare a dish for today. So why can't I prepare today for Shvi'i Shel Pesach, for another Yom Tov? So it's not...
But you can't do the next day Yom Tov, you know, so...
You can't do that because the next day is Chol. That's the question. So this is a very big dilemma in the Paiskim. And some Paiskim talk about it. It's very fascinating that it's mutter. And also another bring out the point is, what about preparing on Rosh Hashanah? Are you allowed to prepare on Rosh Hashanah, the first day Rosh Hashanah, for the second day Rosh Hashanah? So there is even better. Because since we have a principle that it's considered to be one long day, so that's like comparing from the day itself. But the truth is that's a contributing factor, but we don't really paskin that it's Yom Arichta. We only use this principle that it's one long day when it's convenient, not when we want to decide halacha. So the truth really is that when you prepare from one day Rosh Hashanah to another day Rosh Hashanah, you really have the shaila: are you allowed to be mechin from one day Rosh Hashanah to the second day Rosh Hashanah? And the truth is, it's really usher. It's also because the second day Rosh Hashanah is chol. It really comes down to the same question. The only time you have a real solid case to prepare from one day to the next is only the first day Pesach to the Shvihi Shel Pesach.
What's the sukkah?
No, not necessarily. Because Shmini Atzeres is not part of Sukkot. It's a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmai, Hazer Kashev. Not necessarily. How do you view, it's a big debate, how do you view the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres? Mitzad Echad is eighth, it's the eighth. It's eight comes after seven. So it's all part of Sukkot. If you by mistake and you say Yom Chag HaSukkos HaZeh Yoytze, you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. But Mitzad Sheni, the Gemara makes it very, very clear. It's Pazer Kashev. It has its own set of mitzvahs. There's no Shaychus, the Sukkos. You don't take the Dalaminim. You don't sit in the Sukkah. There's only one mitzvah. So maybe when you're the same way, you're not allowed to appear from Shabbos, from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You need a special area of Tavshilin. So when you go to appear on the first day Sukkot to Shmini Atzeres, you want to make a dish on your first day Sukkot to Shmini Atzeres, maybe that's like going to some degree from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You're going from apples to oranges. What gives you the right to go from one to cross over the line? Maybe yeah, maybe not. So the only bona fide suffix where Paiskim on Matir, the Mamash, you bring the Mamash Matir. To go from Shabbos, he writes, Ode B'Shar Atzin Shekosav L'Hokel, Mishnah Berurah says this. Okay, the none other than the Hilchos Chofetz Chaim says this awesome, awesome Chiddush, is that the first day Pesach, you're allowed to make a second pot of food for Shevihi Shel Pesach. B'Shar Atzin Shekosav L'Hokel L'Vashel M'Yoyim HaRishayin L'Yoyim HaShevihi Ayin Sham Sherei Shneim Yamta B'Vaday Ayin Sham. Isn't that awesome Chiddush? Who knows that halacha? Who would ever think of such a halacha? Chavetz Chaim says, the first day of Pesach, you can make a special pot of food and put it away in the freezer, should be ready for the seventh day of Pesach. You tell this to the average Ben Torah, they would say, out of your mind, hachana, 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 bloody murder, how dare you? You're not allowed to make him from Shabbos to Chol. You can't be making from Yom Tov to Chol. You can't make from one day Rosh Hashanah to second day Rosh Hashanah. From the first day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov. Yeah. And even when it comes to Yom Tov, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, even where there's a higher Kedusha, in an Erev Tavshilin, you're going from the first day Pesach to the last day Pesach? Yep. Because when you know the concepts, it's mutter. What are the concepts? Why can't you really prepare from the first day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov? It's Sekhet Yoma. The second day Yom Tov is really Chol. It's really Chol. You're being mezalzel in the sanctity by going from Yom Tov to Chol. Going from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you need an Erev Tavshilin because you're going into two different worlds. You're going from a world of Yom Tov to a world of Shabbos. It's true, Shabbos is more sanctity and technically it's Mutter, but Chazal said, we don't like this. Because you're being mezalzel in Yom Tov. You're using Yom Tov as an opportunity for another holiday. Well, today's not that holiday. It may be true that it has more holiness that holiday, but it's a different holiday. And also, once you go from one level to a higher level, tomorrow you'll go from this level to that level. But to go and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Arichta, I'm sorry to tell you to bust your bubble, but Yom Arichta is not really a halacha concept. It's an agadic. It's a divrei agoda. It does not hold ground in the world of halacha. It's divrei agoda, and this is the sugya. The beit sashach makes things even more chumra. It makes adrab. We use a luchumra when it comes to muksa. When it comes to muksa, we use it for halacha luchumra. But it's not something where you can use lukula. You can't go say it's yoyim arichta. I'm allowed lechatchil to appear from one day to the next day because the second day really is chol. But if you can show me a bona fide yom tif, and you're being making from one day yom to the next day yom tif, you know something? Go for it. It's mutter, and the Chavetz Chaim himself says that it's takamut. It's an amazing chiddush.
What happens if the person would eat it in the middle?
It's mutter. It doesn't matter. If when you made it, your kavanah was noble, then it's okay. That's
really?
Okay.
Really? It wouldn't yes. be awesome if you'd eat in the middle?
No, definitely not. Definitely. When you did the maisa of preparing it, you were sincere. I'm really preparing this for the next Yom Tov. It's smutter. You want to do a harama, then you're wavering in your mind, that's not proper. You have to person to be Yerushalayim. That's not a mahalach.
You wouldn't be anything else with eating it.
If you have a suffix, let's say you have a doubt. I don't know what the Mishnah Berurah would say. I have another question to ask you. Okay, we'll think about this. Are you allowed to prepare today, the first day Shavuos, let's say Shavuos, for next year, the first day Shavuos?
Why not?
I'm going from Yom Tov to Yom Tov. I'm going from Yom Tov to Yom Tov. It's all one Yom Tov. The only difference is it's a different year. What would you say to that? L'chor not. L'chor, that's already, that's already, that's already.
You want to cook, so it should have fresh food.
Fresh food, you'll store it. You'll freeze dry it.
Why you are going so far from Shavuot to Sukkot?
No, that's, so he's asking a very good question. He's asking a very good question. Let's say you want to pair from Shavuot to Sukkot. It's smashed in the Mishnah Berurah? No. Because since the Mishnah Berurah says there's only one Hechatimsa that's Mutter, and that is from the first day Pesach to the last day Pesach, he doesn't say from Pesach, know. Pesach to Shavuos, or from one Chag to another. And even from Sukkot, the first day Sukkot to Shmini Atzeres, it's Mashma, it has to be the same Kedushas Yom Tov. And Shvi Shlo Pesach, in fact, how do you know Shvi Shlo Pesach is the same Kedusha? It is the only day you don't make a Shechiyano. The only time by Kiddush you don't. Why? It's totally Zebezeh. You don't make Shmini Atzeres make a Shechiyano. Both days of Rosh Hashanah make a Shechiyano. Both days of Sukkot make a Shechiyano. You always make a Shechiyano. The only Yom Tov that you do not make a Shechiyano is Shvi Shel Pesach. That's a major statement that this is not a new holiday. It's not a new holiday. This is just a Hemshech of the previous holiday. So therefore, it's a Pella. So you know, I would say, you know, if you'd ask that, you would say, okay, you know, you're right. But there's a Hefsek. There's a Hefsek of 6 days. What right do you have to be mezalzel in the first day of Pesach when I can go and I can make my preparations on the next 6 days? The Mishnah says it's not an argument. The bottom line is it's not called a zilzel because it's still the same Yom Tov, even though it's different calendar days. You're not being mezalzel because it's all one holiday. The same way you can cook for today. I need to eat lunch today. I'm allowed to cook for today. I'm allowed to cook for Shvi Shel Pesach. Yeah.
Except Rosh Hashanah, that it is in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, the same.
It doesn't matter. Even in Eretz
Yisrael. Yom Tovim, they have it in Israel.
Even in Eretz Yisrael, Bezman Hazeh, the second day is not really Rosh Hashanah. We are Bikim, Bikvir, Diyarchi, even in Eretz Yisrael. You're saying something that's true. There is some talk about what you're saying. I do remember we learned Rosh Hashanah. There is some talk about that how it all started. But let's you learn very simple. Bezman Hazeh, Eretz Yisrael, they're experts in the calendar the same way we in Chutz Li'aretz. And the reason why they're observing 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael is also Minug Avosem the Odeyam. It's not in the middle of the month. It's on the first day. Rosh Hashanah is on the first day of the month. So there are technical problems even in Eretz Yisrael with Kiddush HaChodesh. And therefore they needed to observe 2 days within Sveika Diyoma. Only 1 day is holy, one day is not holy. So the second day is Chol. So the first, if you're going to make a dish on the first day for the second day, you're going from Chodesh L'Chol, and that's Aser. It's only the first day Pesach to the last day Pesach. An incredible yisoid from the Mishnah Berurah to understand the lumness of how it works. It's mutter. Right, I read recently. Rabbi
only shele yomim yom tovim in Chutz La'aretz. For example, Shavuot, Pesach.
Right, it's always aser. It's always aser to prepare the first day to the second day because the second day is always choil. You know, Rabbi Belsky, in the biography, they write there, Rabbi Belsky, not in this biography, I saw this somewhere else. He says, people would always bring him Sfarim to give Haskamas. He was a genius, he knew Kaltar Akula. So he doesn't understand, today people are writing, his example was, a thousand page sefer on the laws of Negel Vasser by your bed.
What?
A 1,000-page sefer on the halachos of how to wash Negel Vasser by your bed. When you wake up in the morning, there's a bowl of water. The night before you put a bowl of water. Right, today, where most of us are very lenient, we consider the whole bias to be a virtual Dalid Amos. In Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to go more than 4 amos without washing your hands when you wake up in the morning. So that's what all the Shiv Bachim in the dormitory, they all have bowls and they have negelvasa, and somehow when they get older and they get married, those bowls and those negelvasas, they disappear. they go into some museum. What? How come when you were in the dormitory, when you were a bacher, you were so makbid? Halacha is halacha. If you're not allowed to go more than dalad amas without washing negelvasser, how come when you got married and just somehow it disappeared? Man, I'm not saying everyone. I don't know what goes on. I'm sure there are people today. I have no doubt there are chasha people that have today by their bed negelvasser, even married with 20, 10 children. But you don't necessarily have to do wine because halacha mishmuris we make the entire bias is considered b'diyevet to be one big virtual Dalid Amos. So Abelsky's okay, so but there are people who actually wash Diglavas by the bed. So he used to say that people they write a whole sefer, a 1,000-page sefer telling you all of the details of every scenario of the halachas of how to wash Diglavaser by your bed. And when you look at this, you got like, what? A 1,000-page sefer? And it's not a joke. You go into legalizing. There are some really bizarre, some of these assignments safer. One volume, two volumes, three volumes on these very esoteric halachas. What? There's so much to write. There's so much lundus. There's so many details. And he didn't like it. Adolfo was very upset. And he used to say, the beauty, I forgot his exact nusach, the beauty of what was the line he said? Okay, the pratim. To know the pratim, you need to know the klolos, the klolim, the rules, the general rules. If you know the general rules, mimela, all of the pratim fall into place. These from have a thousand pages describing you all the halachas. You know why there's 1,000 pages? Because they're telling you all the pratim. If the person would write a sefer teaching you the yesoides, the concepts, the klolim, the general rules could be 3-4 pages. So you have to write the 3-4 pages. And then automatically, every person, you know all the pratim. You know the pratim, of course. If I know the klalim, I know the rules, I on my own can very easily figure out every possible scenario, every hechatims in the world, and tell you what halach will be in this case. The problem is people, instead of focusing on the klalim, they're focusing on the pratim. And when you focus on the pratim, you end up with a sefer that's 1,000 pages, and you're dizzy. You waste your time on all these on things which are on, these are not important. When you should be spending time on things that are much, much more important, and you walk away knowing nothing, because there's no way in the world you can memorize 1,000 pages of details of all these esoteric details. Just know klar, the klalim. You know the klalim, the mela. You know all the pratim. So here's a very good example. You have the laws of being meichin from one day to the next day. So we have being meichin from one day Rosh Hashanah to the other day Rosh Hashanah. Being meichin from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Erev Tavshil. Being meichin from Shabbos to Chol, from one day to the next day. There are a lot of pratim. If you can take out an encyclopedia and go through all the scenarios and just memorize all the details, you're going to get dizzy. 2 days, one day, this, that day. When you understand the klalim, mimela, everything falls into place, and now that it's fallen into place, the result is you have chidushim. What's this? Very the klama, very, very simple. Why are you not allowed to be meichin today? Why can't I prepare? People leave out this point. It's because if you're going to prepare today for tomorrow, it's a disgrace for the sanctity of today. That's it. That's the whole klal. When you know that klal, everything falls into place. Yeah, that's taka true when I'm meichin from Shabbos to Chol. I'm meichin from Yom Tov to Chol. Oh, Sveika D'Yoma. There are 2 days Yom Tov. Sveika D'Yoma. The second day really is Chol. I understand. And what about from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Oh, Yom Tov Shabbos, taka kasha. Yom Tov Shabbos, I'm going to a higher sanctity. Well, so what? It's still, it's a different sanctity. It's a different world. Shabbos is not Yom Tov. So it's still called the Zilzul. And that's taka why you need an Erev Tav Shilin. And then what comes out? But let's say I'm meichin from an authentic Yom Tov to another authentic Yom Tov. Then it's mutter. And taka is mutter. Mishnah Berurah is Mishnah is mutter. From the first day Pesach, the second to the last day Pesach is taka mutter. When you have a grasp of the klalim, nimela, everything falls into place. Let me give you one more example. We have to.
I don't understand this. If we're going to say the second day is really whole,
yeah,
then we should be cow on everything on the second day.
No, right? No. We have to. We take that. That is the complex nature of halacha. There are many dimensions to how we observe halacha. There's something called Sfeikut Yom. This is the takon of Chazal. You have to observe the second day 100% at full Yom Tov.
But you said it's like whole.
It's a day. It's only l'chumra. That's right, it is dangerous. Today, b'zman hazeh, we are experts in the calendar. We know as a fact that the second day is really chol. Doesn't matter. Minug, Chazal said, we know that. Minug avoseinu biyodeinu, you observe the second day with the full-fledged sanctity of it being Yom Tov. The Zehu. However, halacha also does demand of you that in the back of your mind you should acknowledge that the second day really is chol. L'chumra, as a stringency. And what is the stringency? That on the first day Yom Tov, you're not allowed to prepare for the second day Yom Tov. Because the second day Yom Tov, being that really it is a mundane day, if you're going to prepare on the first day Yom Tov, you in essence are degrading, you are desanctifying the first day. That's right, you have to have the chumras of both. And it's not only chumras, sometimes there are leniencies. If Rachman al-Lasan, a person dies on Yom Tov, needs to be buried. So there's a difference between the first day Yom Tov and the second day Yom Tov. The first day Yom Tov, according to Shulchan Aruch, the person can be buried by a goy. Because time of Chazal was no refrigeration. The body begins to decay. It's very, very foul. If you're going to wait until the second day Yom Tov is over, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of unpleasantness. So Chazal, since you have 2 days, today's the first day, then there's another day. And until you get to the third day, it's a long time. You know what? Do it already today. You do it today, but you don't do it through a goy. You don't do it, have a non-Jew buried in the body. Tomorrow, let's say the person dies on the second day. You know something? Let's now fall back on the Ikar Halacha. Since the second day really is Chol, you can bury the body yourself. Amazing. Mechal Yom Tov. A Jew, Chazal, they lifted the Tekonet since we know Bekiv Diyarche. We know what the calendar date is. It's really Chol. We allow you, the Jew yourself, to take the body to the cemetery and Mechal, what would be Chil Yom Tov, carrying and going past the Tchum, and digging a grave, we're doing the real deal, you can do it. But just a skeleton crew, only what you barely need. Okay, that's the halacha. That's what it says in Shulchan. That's what the Hasidim Taka do today. The Hasidim Taka do today. They take advantage of what it says in Shulchan. They do it themselves. They do it today. Rav Moshe was, wow, was he against this? Rav Moshe says, not today, not in the 21st century, you don't do this today, because we have refrigeration, there's no nivel hames. You're going already. Have a good day. Hello.
I'm coming.
We have Nivel Hames. And there's no Nivel Hames, man. So therefore, there's no excuse to be mezalzel in the Kedusha of Yom Tov. But you're right. You're right. The Torah gives man more credit than you think. Sometimes the Chazal say, oh, we have to make it very simple. And some of the Chazal say, no, we want to make it very complex. We give person credit. A person can do a lot more than you think. He has the ability to understand that there are multiple layers, multiple dimensions in halacha. You're out of time. I'm going to just run through the halachas. There are a lot of coolness in this. If you prepare for the first day to the second day, you basically allowed to do what we really call a harama, a legal loophole, and that is as long as you don't make two pots. The laws are very, very relaxed. If you want to prepare on the first day Yom Tov, the second day Yom Tov, just make a big, big pot. Even though you only are planning to eat a small amount. Today, I'm only having, who's eating tonight? Just my wife, myself. Just that's it. Tomorrow, we're going to have 100 people at the Suda. So you're permitted, l'chatchila, take out a massive, massive pot, fill it up with everything you got, and just eat one piece. It's one piece. It's one pot. It's one pot. So anyway, I have to make a pot. Anyway, got to do it. So what's the difference if I take a little pot? If I take commercial size, a pot that you can feed an army. What's the difference? A pot is a pot. You're allowed to do it. Okay, that's another thing. Let's say another harama. Two pots. I eat one pot, and I taste a little bit. And then I say, you know what? I don't like it. Let me make another pot. If you sample from the first pot, and then you decide you want to go make another pot and use the second pot for your meal, it turns out now the first pot will be put away for leftovers for tomorrow. It's mutter. So those type of situations, mutter, another time, that's mutter, a very common question. Are you allowed to put food, let's eat the ice cream, it was a question, ice cream. You have ice cream, you have dessert. On Shabbos, even on Shabbos. And, you take out the container of ice cream, you take a couple of scoops, and now I have the container. What do I want to do with the container? Put it back in the freezer. Why do you want to put it back in the freezer? It'll go to waste. Cost a lot of money, this container. No one's eating it now. If I don't put it in the container, in the freezer, it's going to melt and go to waste. Also, you want to put it in the freezer, but the freezer... But that's a maisa. You're doing a maisa. You're picking up the container, putting it in the freezer, but no one's eating. You're only putting it in the freezer to preserve it for tomorrow or the next day or whatever it is. So how are you allowed to do that? How are you allowed to put the food back in the freezer? So the place can say it's mutter because putting it back in the freezer is viewed in the halacha, putting it back in its place. Even though it's true that if you don't put it back in its place, it's going to melt and be destroyed. So in your mind, the clock is ticking and it's an emergency that I got to put it specifically back in the freezer in a mokum where it's going to be frozen. It's going to cause it to freeze. You're doing a lot of things. Still in all, this is where it came from. This is where it goes back. This is its mokum. It just so happens to be that the freezer will preserve it. It'll make it cold and it'll preserve for the next day. Wow. Okay, that's a secondary, that's something that you're not mechuyev to take into consideration, even though it's like a psik resha. There's no din violation of psik resha of lo yamus when it comes to hachana. Hachana she'enay mischavein is mutter, afilu b'makam shu psik resha. By putting the ice cream back in the freezer, it's a psik resha that it's going to be frozen, it'll be preserved for tomorrow.
Set in the refrigerator.
Why don't we say that? Because that's not my kavana. My kavana is it's on the counter, it's in the way. Where does it belong or where did it come from? Always go back where you come from. It's always the good rule. Return to your roots. This container came from the freezer. That's where it goes. It goes back into the freezer. Oh, it just so happens they're putting it in the freezer. It's going to be cold. It's going to be preserved. It's going to be hachana for tomorrow. You know, I'm a chuyev to take that into consideration. That's there is an interesting concept in hachana. Are there more in Yonah of Hachana, but we're going to have to leave for now. I want to discuss the Toichacha. This week's parasha, some of the Yonah, but we'll do that after we take a little break.
It's about time you give us a little more.
No, not me. I'm not a good Muslim.
The army, a little more. I need